Welcome back into Sports Call on a Friday. JJ Jackson, Ryan Lavoie inside our studios, and getting a chance to catch up with our weekly friend, none other than Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network. Kev, how are we today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for asking, and really excited about what we saw last night at the ballpark for the Atlanta Braves. On last week's show, we talked about what the addition of Nick Markakis could possibly bring for this Braves offense. And with a big fly, the walk-off home run last night. How surreal was that inside Truist Park last night, Kevin?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Just to see, a guy like Nick, who has meant so much to this team over the years, to come back. Think about it. He was out of the game for a couple of weeks. He goes back and gets a handful of at-bats in simulated action, and there he is hitting a walk-off home run. So it's not surprising because I know how well Nick takes care of his body and how hard of a worker he is. But to see him come back and have that kind of a moment, and then to see him, guys, crack a smile when he crossed home plate, I mean, the worlds are colliding here, Nick's actually smiling. But no, you know what? I think for a guy like that, 15 years in the big leagues, when you take the game away, I think you can appreciate it even that much more. And I think that's what you saw from Nick last night. So a great moment for him, a big win for the Braves. 7-2 homestand, they're playing good baseball. Now it's on the road for a really long trip to Philly. They'll play the Yankees, and then they go to Miami. So a 9-game road trip after a 9-game homestand, and hopefully they can keep that momentum rolling here tonight in Philly.
Just another note on Markakis, Kevin. Was there anything notable that he said possibly after last night's game, getting back into the swing of things? Because it had been a little bit of time since he had been in action.
It's funny. We had him on the Ford Leadoff Show on the Braves Radio Network last night, and one of the sound bites was about him saying, "I'm not really worried about my timing at the plate. It's more my legs and running around in the outfield. That's what I'm a little more worried about. It's just, making sure I'm in great, in game shape," which, again, he is. I mean, he would not have come back. They would not have activated him if he wasn't. But it was funny because we just talked about a pregame where he's saying, "I'm not really worried about my timing at the plate." He had to face a kid last night who throws a fastball in the upper 90s. That kid was 97 and 99. Welcome back, right? You got to face a kid who can touch triple digits. A moment last night for him that really felt very eerily similar to that walk-off homer in 2018 when he broke the Phillies' hearts on opening day. Almost the same spot to the chop house there in right field. It's something he talked about. He didn't think it would take all that long. And then, of course, the celebration with all of his teammates around home plate. He said that was a little bit different, but still a great moment nonetheless. And I'm sure that's certainly a walk-off game winner that he won't forget for a long, long time.
On the other side of things, Kevin, unfortunately, there's a slew of injuries taking part in Major League Baseball and on the Braves right now. Let's start in the lineup, kind of the reverse of Nick Markakis now falling out of the lineup is Ozzie Albies. Talk about his injury. Is it one of those injuries that it might be nagging him all season long, or is it something that he can get back up to 100% with just a little bit of rest?
Yeah, I think that's a big key. He needs rest. With a wrist, if you're trying to play every day, it's not necessarily going to get worse. It's just not going to get better. So when you talk about, having to take some time off, I'd rather it happen now, have him miss a week and a half, 2 weeks early in the season than have that thing linger all year. You knew he was really hurting the other night when he went up there batting lefty against a left-hander. That's when I knew, okay, something's really not right, and this is worse than they thought. I speculated on the post-game show that he was going to go on the IL the next day, and that's exactly what happened. It's a move they had to make. I mean, at the end of the day, you need Ozzie in September and October a lot more than you need him right now. So, again, while I don't know that it would have gotten progressively worse, I just know that it probably would not have gotten any better by trying to play through it. So, the good news for the Braves, they have depth at that position, which is why depth is so much more important this year in a short season than it is in 162. You've got Charlie Culberson, you've got a Danny Echevarria, you also have Johan Camargo if you needed him at second base as well. So the Braves are well equipped to handle it. Now, look, it stinks taking a bat like that out of your lineup, but again, if he's going the way he was, anything you're going to get from Echevarria, Culberson, or Camargo in that spot will be an upgrade. I mean, he just had nothing. It was a lot of soft contact, a lot of, weak fly balls. He just didn't have any power in his swing. So it's a move that had to happen. And I think that, after a couple of weeks of rest, he'll be just fine.
On the more serious side of things for the injuries, of course, the Braves lost their ace earlier this week, Mike Soroka, a torn Achilles. First and foremost, how is Mike doing and how is the team around him? What have they been saying about Mike?
If you know Mike, if you've ever spent any time around him, you're not surprised to find out that he was obviously dejected, but actually handling it pretty well. I mean, he knew that this is out of his control. There's nothing he can do to change what happened. Obviously, it's a disappointing and a frustrating moment for him, but the team has to soldier on, and he'll be there to support them every step of the way. So for Mike, he'll probably undergo surgery early next week. That's sort of the timetable. From what I understand about an Achilles tear, you got to give it, you know, 3 or 4 days for that swelling to go down until you can get in there and try to repair it. Now, the good news is it's not a shoulder or an elbow. It's an Achilles, and he will recover from this, and he'll be just fine down the road. It may be May or June next year until he's back to 100% on a big league mound. But again, we're not talking Tommy John surgery. We're not talking about a shoulder, which he's had issues with in the past. So while I'm sure it's disappointing and frustrating on the eve of his 23rd birthday, that's certainly not how he expected to celebrate turning 23 the next day. This team has always done a really nice job of picking each other up. You saw Max Fried go out there the next night and put the team on his back and get a W. So I'm not surprised to see this team sort of use that as a rallying point. And again, for Soroka, you feel bad for him, the person, because I've covered Major League Baseball now for 11 seasons. When I say he is one of the most genuine, nicest people on earth, I'm not just referring to athletes or baseball players. Like, he is just a really good kid. He's someone you want to pull for. And, again, he'll recover from this. He'll be fine. But I'm sure it's disappointing. But he handled it about as well as any 22 going on 23-year-old possibly could.
So logistically for Atlanta, a rotation that was already struggling on the back end, having to find another arm to fill the vast void that is Mike Soroka. I listened to the broadcast a little bit last night. I heard Joe Simpson mention the possibility, or at least Tyler Matzek, earning a right to maybe be that guy, but of course was used last night, so not likely at all to take that place now. Who are the candidates to replace Mike Soroka in rotation?
Well, I think Matzek, even though he did pitch last night, I would still leave him in consideration because they could technically say that that was his side day. You know, a lot of times starting pitchers throw a side session 2 days before they pitch. So theoretically, that could have been a key logistics move for the Braves to get him out there and get him an inning, just to get some pitches under his belt. We've seen them do that in the past. I still think it's going to be Bryce Wilson, at least for this time through, and then maybe it could be Matzek. Maybe they try to build him up a little bit further than he is. There's also the possibility they go with an opener. And again, that could be Matzek turning it over to, say, a Josh Tomlin for a long relief situation. I think a lot of things are still in play. After the game last night, the Braves still hadn't decided what they were going to do, or at least publicly they haven't announced what they're going to do. But I think the final two candidates are Matzek and Bryce Wilson for this time around. And then again, I don't know that either of those two guys are long-term solutions. I think ideally you'd like to have a veteran guy in there. I would love to see Josh Tomlin, but he's so valuable in that role that they've found for him coming out of the bullpen and being their Swiss Army knife, if you will. So, you need to get somebody with a little bit more experience in there. Your rotation is really young, and if you start talking about an Ian Anderson or a Tucker Davidson, you get even younger and less experienced. So, ultimately, down the line, I think they'll try to trade for a starter, but that's going to be difficult this early in the season. So for now, they're going to have to stay internal. They're going to have to find guys to bridge the gap between now and later on this month when starters could become available as teams fall out of the race. But again, I think in the short term, if I had to guess, I'm probably leaning towards Bryce Wilson. Again, Tyler Matzek would still be in consideration, but again, a guy like Bryce would be stretched out to the point where he'd be able to give you 5 or 6 innings right now, so we'll probably have a better idea on that later on today where they're going to go.
Kevin, update us on the status of Cole Hamels, because I'm sure a lot of Braves fans very excited to see an old foe join the team on this one-year deal, but of course dealing with injuries and on a shortened season, it seems like time is already starting to run out in some sort of way.
I just hope he throws a pitch this year, guys. I do. I mean, he's out till at least September the 1st when he was placed on the 45-day IL with that triceps issue. He had the shoulder issue during spring training, or at least right before spring training. I'm starting to get my doubts that we even see him put on a uniform this year. I really am. I mean, every time it gets asked to snit, and believe me, it's a couple of times a week, he's just in his progression. He's in his throwing program, not to the point where he's ready to face hitters or anything like that. So it's getting late early for Cole Hamels to be able to contribute this season, which would be a major disappointment. You know, when they signed him, I thought this was a great move. Veteran guy, like I said a minute ago, you need to get a veteran guy in there, an inning feeder, someone that can go to the post every 5 days. I'm starting to have my doubts we see him at all. And again, for a guy they gave $18 million to, what a disappointment that would be. So, you know, look, if you're Hamels, you've made a ton of money in your career, you've won a World Series, you've been a World Series MVP, you've thrown a no-hitter, you started a combined no-hitter, you've accomplished a lot, you've made, like I said, a ton of money. At 36 years old, I don't know that he's ready to hang it up just yet, but missing an entire season would certainly be a step towards that direction of probably being done for his career. So, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it that we see Cole Hamels get on a big league mound this season.
We're talking with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network here on a Friday sports call. You can listen to all the Braves games on our sister station, 1230 WAUD, right here in Auburn. Kevin, if we switch things over to the offensive side of the team for the Atlanta Braves, 14 games into the year with Marcell Ozuna in the lineup, outside of the baseball diamond, what's been your biggest takeaway from watching Marcell Ozuna interact with his teammates in Atlanta?
Well, they love him, and I'll say this. Nick Markakis, I think, said it best during spring training. He goes, you know, I think we're really happy to have him. We think he'll be a great fit. We didn't like him a whole lot during the playoffs last year, but I'm on our side now. Ozuna ripped our hearts out last season. I think he's done a great job in the middle of the order. You know, that was the big question all offseason. How are the Braves going to fill the void left by Josh Donaldson? Oh, by the way, for those fans who may not be paying attention, that calf has become an issue again for Josh Donaldson, and he has missed some time in the early going, so it makes the Braves look even smarter for not giving him that four-year deal that he was looking for this offseason. I like Josh. I would have loved to have him back, but not at the expense of a four-year, you know, $100-plus million deal. But to Ozuna's end, I think what you're going to see from him for the most of the games going forward, I think you'll see him DH. I think this team, you know, obviously puts a lot of stock in defense, putting their best defense out there. And right now, you know, Ozuna is not giving you your best defense. It's going to be Markakis or Duvall with Acuna and with, you know, again, some combination of Duvall and Markakis. I don't think we see a whole lot of Enrique either, even against right-handers. I just think that they're going to ride the hot hand. And right now, it's going to be those three guys I just mentioned with Ozuna DHing. So, you know, I think he's fit in well. I know that, you know, Acuna and Albies have been around him from day one of spring training. And again, he's a fun guy. I like him. I'm just bummed we're not allowed in the clubhouse to hang out with these guys like we usually do every day to get to know him better. You know, I was around him for, you know, what, almost 5 weeks in spring training. But I would love to get to know Marcell better. But he's a character. He has a lot of fun, a lot of energy on the field, and he's fit right in from day one with this club.
Last week, Kevin, I asked you about some of the stars of the game and their cold starts. Christian Yelich homering last night for the Brewers, Cody Bellinger having a good week, and, of course, Atlanta's Ronald Acuna Jr., who has had a good week, has started to come out of that slump. What have you seen that has been different in his at-bats this past week?
Well, I think drawing walks was huge for him. I think going the other way was a really good sign. A couple nights ago, what was it? Maybe it was Sunday. Now, these days all start to run together when we start playing 20 in a row. It was either Sunday or Monday, and I think he went 0-for-3 but drew a couple of walks, but had a long fly out to the wall in right field, had a line out for the gap in right center, and I turned to the guys in the studio and I said, he's back. I said, he's seeing the ball well. He's squaring it up. You know, it's just a matter of time. And then, of course, he hits the home run. He does the curtain call for the cardboard cutout fans behind the dugout. But no, you could just tell he was getting there. And even though he wasn't, you know, hitting the ball hard, wasn't pulling it, putting the seats, you could tell that it was just a matter of time. And he had a stretch where he was on base in 12 of 23 plate appearances with like 6 or 7 walks. So that was an encouraging sign as well. I believe 4 of those 6 hits were for extra bases, including a home run. So you knew he was heating up. You knew it was coming around. And again, as I mentioned last week, he's a guy that can put an offense on his back and carry it for a week or 10 days. So you think about where the Braves are at this point in the season. You know, they're 9-5 through 14 games. And they're really doing that without the top of the order doing a whole lot in the first 2 weeks of the season. So that's a really encouraging sign that you are where you are without the offense really clicking on all cylinders right now. So it just goes to show you, I still believe the best is yet to come for this team.
Just a couple of more for Kevin McAlpin, our guest on today's edition of Sports Call, as he is each and every Friday, and listen to the Braves Radio Network all throughout the season for complete coverage of Atlanta through this 2020 year. Kevin, as we turn our attention to this upcoming weekend, what's the 4-1-1 on this Philly squad 2 weeks into the year?
Well, JT Realmuto is hot as a firecracker right now, so you got to watch out for him, of course. A guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Being a native Philadelphian, I'm liking the fact that there's some Phillies fans as we've seen this. They're at the center field gate. There's like a public street out there where you can actually see the field. They've got signed JT, you know, banners up that they're holding up, wow, and they're cheering and they're going nuts. Of course, they've got Bryce Harper, who you always have to be careful with. Phil Gosselin, one of our old friends, former Braves pick from many years ago, who's with the Phillies now. He's a Philly kid. He grew up not too far from where I'm from. Phil and I have stayed in touch for the last handful of years. He is off to a red-hot start. He's batting fifth for the Phillies. So he's an eye to, again, a name to keep an eye on as well. They get to face Vince Velasquez tonight, who they have absolutely teed off on over the years. Velasquez is something like 1-6 with a 5.5 ERA against the Braves lifetime. So they've got their work cut out for them with guys like Real Muto and Harper and others, McCutcheon in there. And, you know, it's a good lineup. It's a good Phillies lineup. But Kingery, a nice young player as well. But again, I think the matchup certainly favors the Braves tonight. They've had a ton of success against Velasquez. Freeman and Marquez and Ozuna and Ronald have had some really good numbers lifetime. So I'm keeping an eye on the top of the order to do some damage tonight.
Braves and Phillies tonight, first of a weekend series against the friends in the National League Eastern Division. And then final question, as always, Kevin, we put you on the spot each and every week, and under the radar pick, and Travis d'Arnaud was as good as it gets last week in particular, and particularly the Friday night heroics he had last week. Who you got for us this week, Kevin, in a word on how successful d'Arnaud was for you this past weekend?
By the way, you guys like those texts I send you, you know, during the game where I'm like, there's another one.
Oh, yeah, we love them.
Some of those, probably some of the language we can't repeat.
Right, exactly.
Celebrate getting ones right every now and then. All right, I'll give you an under-the-radar name to keep an eye on this weekend. Danny Echevarria. I think he's going to get some playing time here with Ozzie Albies out. Great glove, good defender. I think he's going to get some good reps at the bottom of the order. I'll look for Echevarria to be an under-the-radar kind of guy. I know he did some damage a couple of weeks ago, last year against the Mets. After they cut him loose. So I'll say Echevarria is the guy I'm going to keep an eye on. And as far as the bullpen, I'm very excited to see Will Smith this weekend. I think he's got a chance to make a big-time impact, and I think we could see him get in there as early as tonight. Smith wanted to get him in there last night, but the situation didn't really dictate it. So I'll look for, offensively, Danny Echevarria to be my under-the-radar guy with Will Smith coming out of the bullpen and maybe even getting a couple of cracks in the ninth inning as well. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely love it. We'll be texting you throughout the week, Kevin. We certainly do appreciate it. And, folks, be sure to listen to Braves Radio Network coverage. It's got to be weird for you, Kev, that the team's in Philadelphia, but you guys are holding down the fort there in Atlanta still, correct?
It's weird. I think I told you last week I had major FOMO when the team went on the first road trip, because I've been on every road trip since the start of 2012.
Wow.
Exception of April of 2015 when my son Max was born. I've been on every other road trip. I am such a nerd, and I might have admitted this to you guys already, but last night I waited and put on the FlightAware app, and I typed in the charter flight number, and I actually, like, tracked them as they were going up to Philly at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking about all of my friends, the flight attendants who I miss seeing and miss enjoying a cocktail with as we travel around the country. So it is weird, very strange to watch a game from Philly tonight. Obviously, I wouldn't have a chance to see mom or the family because we would be stuck in the hotel. But it'll be really strange to not be there these next 4 days. So you want to think about FOMO for the first road trip not being on it. It'll be through the roof here the next 4 days for sure.
Kevin, we certainly do appreciate the time today. We'll catch up again next week, all right?
Enjoy it, fellas. Stay well.
That's Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network joining us here on a Friday Sports Call.